This morning, we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 15. I guess I'll begin at the beginning of John 15, verse 1. How about that? This is when Jesus is speaking to his disciples during the upper room ceremony, which was the Last Supper, the night he was about to go to his death and give us all eternal life. So he made sure that he gave a strong message that he was leaving behind to those disciples. And in turn, those disciples are passing it on through the word of God today to you and to me. So it's an important message we have this morning, right? Okay, so I'm going to do some how-tos today. So you ready? Sometimes you wonder how to do things for God differently, how to show people more of who God is. Okay, all right, one, okay, beautiful. So this side of the room is winning so far. Beautiful. All right. Nice. All right. They'll catch up. They'll catch up. Not to worry. All right. So here's what Jesus had to say to those disciples and to you and me and all of us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. So far we have a how, right? How do we do more for God? How do we have a stronger, closer relationship with God? Stay close. Remain. Be connected. Abide, it also says in some versions of the Bible. Make God your home and be at home with God. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me can be thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me, this is another way of saying remain in me, abide in me, stay close to me, right? Here's what happens if you do that. How many of you are doing that already? Let's see what side is winning. Oh, okay. Now the hands go up, even if they're... We get a competitive bunch. And they're so truthful, all of them. Yes. Because you're at church, right? You got to tell the truth here, right? Okay, beautiful. Anyway. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, right? So here's the thing. How do we know Jesus' words? You read them. It's actually written in here. Did you know that? And for those of you that have red letter Bibles, there's lots of red in there, is there not? And how often have you read the red versions of that? Verse 8, my true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. So there's a second thing, right? When we remain with Jesus, you also remain in his love, don't you? You never have to feel unloved, unworthy, be rejected, be abandoned ever. Because why? When you that's right. You remain in God's love through Jesus Christ all the time. In fact, the book of Romans, we know, tells us nothing can ever separate us from God, that love of God. Nothing. Even if you're having a bad day, even if your voice isn't so great right now, God still loves us, right? Right. I'm going to produce a lot of fruit today, I can just tell. When you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. So there's also a caveat to that, right? Jesus wants us to remain in God's love, but also to obey what? Those red letter words, right? Whenever we take the words and we plant them within ourselves by reading them daily, hourly, not just Sundays, not just Wednesday nights, although that's a pretty good time to where we explore the Word of God during Bible study. But you and I all the time, if we're going to remain close to the vine as a branch, right, we got to stay close in the Word, do we not? I learned something about grapevines this week. I'm going to see where I put that. Where was that? Oh, it's in here somewhere. I know what I need. I'll find it. Oh, it's this. First of all, the soil matters for a grapevine. There's kind of another parable. The good soil, the rocky soil, the seed, right? Throwing the seed out. And what? And you notice that in Matthew 13, it says seed planted in good soil produces a great amount of fruit. Sometimes 30-fold, sometimes 100-fold. Interesting. So what's the, when we talk about soil, because when we plant a grapevine, it has to have the right kind of soil. And I learned all about soils more than I wanted to know. But I do know this, that soil has to get ready. It has to be tilled. All the rocks have to get taken out of it. It has to be fertilized. And it has to be places in there where water can get in. And the vine also has to be in a place where the sun will shine on it. Because the grapevine has to stay warm in order for the grapes to grow. Interesting, right? And the other thing about a grapevine is this. It needs support. There's always a pole put beside it, beside that stalk. And it holds it in place. And the grapevine is supposed to look upward, grow upward. You see why we're all a bunch of grapes to God? First, our heart has to be right, correct? God has to work on some things in all of our hearts sometimes, does he not? He's got to get some of the rocks out. Now, personally, he's taking some rocks out of my head besides, but needless to say, those things in us sometimes that get in the way of the soil that God wants, the clean soil, the fresh soil, the good soil, right? And then God puts a support beside us all. That's why we have church members. That's what churches are for. 1, 2, 3, 10 people to be beside us, to hold us up, right? Yes? And then where do we look and how do we grow? By looking up at God, to the Son, who warms our hearts and souls. And then guess what happens? We remain close, the vine and the branches stay close so that it doesn't get rotten. Sometimes what can happen, those branches that Jesus is speaking of, the farther it gets away from the core where the sap is, they begin to wither. And sometimes the bugs can get on them. Sometimes disease can get on them. And so guess what has to happen? One of the necessary things for grapevines is most important is pruning. Don't you love pruning in your life? We've been doing fine for a while there, right? You want my voice to like disappear right now, I'm sure. And in verse 11, Jesus says this, I've told you this so you will be filled with joy. Obey my Father, remain in me, remain in God. You're going to produce a lot of fruit. And so what's the fruit he's talking? Let me go. I'm going to keep going to the verse I want to get to. I'm sorry. Verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. I command you to love each other. Last verse of that sentence, of that whole part of his teaching. So what's the fruit he wants us to produce? Ta-da. So think of it this way, right? You stay close to the vine, right? You get attached. You remain in the vine. You remain in that love. You read God's word every single day, and it gets infiltrated right into your heart. And before you know it, you can't even help it, but nothing but love can come out of you. Because his words, they don't go out void. They create nourishing grapes that give refreshment, right? And grapes are great for your heart, in case you didn't know that. Antioxidants. That's why they were growing then in even biblical times. Grapes could heal the heart when people couldn't have open heart surgery way back when. And doesn't love heal the heart? Of course it does. So here's how it works. I'm going to give you the how, right? I think I already have. The word gets sown into your heart, planted there. But it must be planted daily because there's so many words that Jesus said, right? Right? Each of those words have meaning to us all to help us grow and change. You have to stay attached to the vine. When are you attached? Always? Every minute of every day? Even when you're at work, when somebody's bugging you? Even more reason to stay attached, right? Because that'll show them how you behave, the words you say, the actions you do. That shows people whether you have the heart of Christ, you are close to the vine, and you're a representative of Jesus Christ, or you're not. And when we read there in John 15, it says, sometimes you produce no fruit, sometimes you do some fruit, but God wants you to produce much fruit, huge amounts of fruit. And I know this about any kind of tree when you think about it. Apples grow on pear trees. Oranges grow on apple trees. I'm confused. must be the Benadryl. Whatever kind of fruit we produce is like the tree it grows on, correct? And if you're on the vine of Jesus and you're attached to him and you remain in him and God is love but nothing but love, correct? What are you going to produce? Fruit love. Love fruit. I don't know. We'll invent something. Your life can glorify God, because remember Jesus spoke about that, right? By your attitudes, your words, your actions. Because then if you show the world love, unconditional love, by the way, Jesus' kind of love, you know that kind of love, right? We all received it, didn't we? We all have it within us, don't we? We remain in that love every day. We know we have it every moment of the day, right? And we keep it to ourselves, don't we? No, very good. This side's really winning today. Maybe that side's just louder, I guess what it is. But needless to say, whatever's in your heart, whatever, you know, if you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out, right? Whatever's in our heart is what comes out. The words we say come from our heart. And if you're not attached to Christ all the time, 24/7, well, except for when you're asleep, I'll give you that time. But while you are awake and in relationship with any other human being in any other place, you must show what? That's where Galatians 5 comes in. We all know this scripture, correct? The fruit of the Spirit. When you bear love to others, it's the unconditional love, you're also an example of Christ's righteousness because you do the right thing all the time for others. You do it for the benefit of others. That's what God's love is like. You have to show people mercy. That's one of one of the prerequisites of who Jesus and God is, correct? It's one of the gifts that we receive from God, but it's also a gift we're to give to others. So Galatians, I'll read it to you. Galatians 6 says this, verse 22 and 23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Now, what's the Holy Spirit? Jesus inside of us, right? The more you dwell, the more you remain the Holy Spirit, because he's holy. That means set apart, different from the world, different from people. When that you allow that Spirit to control your life, here's the kind of fruit you produce. Love, joy, in all circumstances. Peace, seeking peace with even people that aren't peaceful with you. Am I losing? I'm losing some people here. Patience. Whoa, the whole room has exploded in front of me. How you doing on Facebook? Oh, I got shut. They shut me off. What happened? Bad connection. Patience. Kindness. That's giving something to somebody with asking nothing in return. That's what kindness is all about. Goodness, being like God, because God is good. And wanting the good for other people as well. Faithfulness. Can we be faithful to read the Bible every single day and read those red words? Okay, I don't know. It's a toss up here. Gentleness. We're all gentle with one another, right? Wow. Yeah, right. There we are. I have to be sure I'm not driving in front of that person later. Should I go too slow? And gently, gently tap on your horn. As opposed to bah, bah, right? See? And the last one we all want all the time, regardless of anything and everything we could ever have. This is what the fruit that we need to show the most to everyone, including ourselves. Self-control. That maybe that goes before gentleness, so you don't blow the horn. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Nine of them. You can do multiple choice if you like. But actually, if you stay close to the vine, if you get you stay really close to Jesus and he guides your mind, your thoughts and your actions and your attitudes, you can do this, can't you? By yourself, you can do nothing, right? He said that. You need God's Spirit. Before we react to anything, we must always connect ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Listen for the Spirit. Listen for God. Ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? Right? It's not a banner we wear around our arm or a band or whatever. It's really, listen, if there's an apple tree or a grapevine, it's going to naturally do what? Produce grapes and see? Once we're connected to Jesus Christ and stay connected, what will we produce? We can't help but do it, right? If you find yourself not being these things, that means you're not connected to the vine. So what does that mean you have to do? Get reconnected. Call the vine dresser. Prune some of this stuff off of me. I'm a little too far away from Jesus and more like myself some days. Are we all? So when you find yourself a little, anybody get like that? Or just me? Just me. Thank you for telling me that. He was so gentle right then. And so kind. He showed me love, right? Thank you. I feel so much better. Now I have joy, exactly. See the difference when we treat someone with love and respect and the things that Jesus is all about, right? We know all about him, don't we? We don't want to just know about him. We want to be like him, right? How do you do that? Stay connected in the Word. That's where it all happens. Alone time with him. Let him teach you. He's gentle. He'll help you. He'll be kind about the way he helps us change and grow, right? He wants what's best for us, to love and be loved and to love others. That brings glory to God. That self-control thing. You don't get to have your way anymore. So we'll see some of you next week, right? Only those that want to continue to grow. No. All of us. Remember what Jesus said, you must deny yourself. We've already heard that message not that long ago. It's the same message we have to, that's what self-control is. I can't have everything I want. And even though the stores have everything you can possibly imagine, especially in the candy aisle. And then, of course, there's 9 billion flavors of ice cream. And God knows how many cakes and pies. All those temptations, and that's just one thing. I don't know what's more never mind. All I know is this, I can't go down those aisles. That's called self-control. I won't, because it's the only way I know how to have it. So the question remains, what will people see when they see you? What will you show others by your life? Will they get to know God more because of you? Will they see a loving, caring, generous, compassionate, gentle, sweet God that's forgiving and understanding? Will they? How can you do that? Listen to awesome sermons are wonderful. But they come directly from the Word of God. Nothing fancy. No special seminary training. It's in there. Now we just apply it to our lives, right? So the question for all of you is this. How much fruit do you want to produce? If we were to have a fruit stand here at Christ the Cornerstone Church, how much fruit would we have? Tons of it, right? There'd be truckloads of it. There'd be so much fruit that everybody would come from far and wide saying, I gotta have some of that fruit. Exactly. And what's the fruit that people are gonna find when they come to this church? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Self-control. I know it's hard to say. But it's easier to do when you abide in Christ. The only way for people to really get to know God is by you showing who God is. Now, all of us have all our different ways of doing that, do we not? We're all individual in that respect. But what are we all supposed to show people? Love above all. Unconditional love. And be patient with them. Because not all people that come in here have it all together, in case you didn't know that. This side of the room, I'm beginning to get concerned about. I should be. Whoa. But seriously, if we were to truly take Jesus' words and commit ourselves all individually and collectively to getting closer and more connected to who Jesus Christ is, sowing his words into our mind and hearts every single day, our heart would get changed, we would look upward, we begin to grow. And before you know it, what are people going to see? Jesus himself, more and more of God. Does the world not need that more than it needs anything else right now? And we can't be responsible for what other people do. We can only be responsible for ourselves. But we can choose. We can each individually choose to stay so close to Jesus that the reflection of him just continues to flow right out of us. And we go from no fruit to some fruit to much fruit. That's the spiritual growth we're all here to have. So if you show love to others, that'll show them who God is. If you show people patience and goodness and kindness, they're going to wonder, what the heck is wrong with this person? They're not like everybody else. And you go, yes, I'm not. I'm like Jesus. That's our goal, right? So you have the word of God here today. Just a couple of examples. We as a church, we often show so much fruit. You can see it. And churches are known, just like people, by their fruit. So the more we continue to prune those things out of our lives that block us from being close to Christ, and the more we stay connected to the vine individually, because we need all of you to do it. That's what a church is, a group of people. You're all a bunch of grapes, right? That's gonna refresh others, correct? But I don't know about you. You can't make much grape juice with one grape, can you? That's why we need all of you to continue to stay close to the vine, remain in Christ, remain in God's love. Obey what he tells you to do and listen to the Holy Spirit as it guides you, because it will guide you and help you. That's a good part of it. You're not doing this alone. God's doing it within you, right? But the closer you stay, the more you can produce much, much, much more fruit of love all over your life. So when they see you by how your words are, your actions, and so forth, that'll show them that you indeed are a child of God, because you're just like him. Amen?